Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 5. Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek, in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver is an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities, wherein thou trustedst with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. And it shall come to pass, when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me, and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season, he that reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait, as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. I have the first section as verses 1 through 9. Verses 1 and 2 speak of the baseness of the majority of the people. The Lord challenges Jeremiah to find a righteous man, and the implication is that he will be unsuccessful in his search. They swear by the name of the Lord. They say, "The Lord liveth." Notice they're taking oaths, but they're swearing falsely. They do not believe in the Lord. They do not believe he is the one who will be there to call them to account. The Lord then proclaims that his eyes are on the truth and not on their insincere confession. The response of the people to the chastisements of the Lord also has not been good. They have proved themselves to be unbelievers. They have not grieved for their sins. They have refused correction. They have been stubborn, and they have refused the overtures of the Lord's mercy that leads to repentance. So the chastisements that have been sent upon them, they've not made use of them. They've rather complained and murmured. So then Jeremiah declares, there is this weak and poor people. Okay, well, it's understandable. They're uneducated. Maybe they haven't heard. Maybe they haven't been experienced. Maybe they didn't have good breeding or good upbringing. So I will get me to the great men, and I will speak to them, and surely they will hear. But no, not there either. And so from the least to the greatest section of society, or segments of society, we find no repentance. We find no ear to hear the word of the Lord. Then notice the Lord says, how shall I pardon for this? How shall I pardon for this? He goes on to describe the judgments that he will send, the greater chastisements, and this is a popular theme in the whole of Scripture. Not just the prophets of the Old Testament. The Lord sends some chastisement, and if the people of God do not respond uprightly to that chastisement, the chastisement is ratcheted up. It becomes more intense. And so, more and more judgments are heaped. And yet, let's remember that apart from the grace of Jesus Christ with regard to our own estate, our own corruptions, that the greater the intensity of the chastisement, the more we will rebel, the more we will complain, the more we will turn from the Lord. That it is not a natural thing. Oh, the Lord works with our natures, and he may use chastisements by his mercy and grace to turn us to himself, but we do not get credit for that turning, and yet we get all the blame for our rebellion. That's the economy of Scripture with regard to redemption and sin. We cannot turn to the Lord and say, well, you just didn't give me enough grace. You didn't give me enough of your Spirit. We cannot say that. Notice Jeremiah will be very careful to say that your iniquities have withholden these good things from you. And yet, when the chastisements come, it is indeed of the goodness, of God's goodness, that we repent. All right, so how shall I pardon for these things? And of course, that's a rhetorical question. There's no earthly way. There's no human way for the Lord to pardon for these things. We're only going to find any pardon in the Lord's eternal mercies toward His chosen, toward His people. All right, so that's the first section. Notice that spiritual adultery leads to real adultery or earthly adultery. We see that as well, right? And we see that over and again in Scripture. All right, so now in verses 10 through 19, the Lord declares twice in this section that He will not make a full end. And that is to encourage those who are seeking the Lord, that there is justice with Him. He will not punish the righteous and the wicked in the same way, that He will not make a full end, that there is mercy with Him. Notice, however, the words of the people. It says that they have belied the Lord and said, "It is not He, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see the sword or famine." Oh, the Lord would never send evil like this. He didn't do that. Some of us still remember when we suffered some very dire and difficult chastisements in this country, when storms and earthquakes and fires from the Lord, where else are they from? From the Lord have been visited upon our country. We have ministers that feel themselves free to stand in pulpits and say, "Oh, well, God didn't send that. Satan did." May I say that Jeremiah speaks exactly to that here when he says, "They have belied the Lord and said, 'This is not Him.'" It most certainly is. And we as God's people especially would do well to speak the truth in such evil times. Do we enjoy evil times today? Well, we may not enjoy them. Do we suffer under evil times today? There are evils in the city, evils in the country, evils in our civil estate. There is much lawlessness in high places and in low places. There's a lack of enforcement in high places and in low places. There are all kinds of things going on where we have evinced ourselves to be a people under God's judgments and chastisements. What will we do? Will we say it's not Him? Or will we call upon Him and beg for mercy for our civil establishment? Well, we know the answer to that question, don't we? So they have belied the Lord. They said, we shall neither see sword nor famine. Let me tell you, not only in ancient Israel, not only in the United States of America in the 21st century, but every nation in history that sins against the Lord will come under His judgments. And when they say, "We shall not see sword nor famine," they trivialize with God. And they will not escape. If we desire not to see sword nor famine in our land, then we must pray for righteousness in high and low places in the land. That's what we must do, and nothing short of it, and nothing short of earnest and secret prayer, not only public prayer for such things. So then the Lord advertises His judgments. First of all, the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. What does the Lord do at first? He shuts down the teaching ministry of the church, such that we no longer hear the truth from those of whom we ought to expect it. That's the first thing. What's the second thing? "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." Now, there's some division as to what exactly that means. But there are two things, right? Two possible meanings, two potential meanings. The first meaning is that He's going to put His word in the mouth of Jeremiah, His true word, and it shall be a word of judging fire upon the people. But the second is that he will continue to put that lying spirit in the mouth of the rest of the prophets, and they will speak to the judging fire of the people because they will refuse repentance, because they will never be encouraged to it. Either one of those are biblical concepts. So there are good people on both sides of that interpretation. Okay, so I will make thy words in thy mouth fire, this people wood, it shall devour them. And then now, after those spiritual judgments, the Lord says he'll bring a temporal judgment. Then I'll bring that nation from afar, from the north. Interesting, isn't it? That when the Lord brings those spiritual judgments, many continue on in complacency, and it is only when their temporal estate is attacked that they begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Whereas we ought to be crying out when we see such errors and that perversion of the teaching office of the church. That's where we ought to be crying out the loudest, because that is the beginning of judgments. Well, let's remember that, and let us redouble diligent efforts in prayer for the ministry, for the teaching in our churches these days, that it would be pure and clear and biblical, and so on. All right, so then he goes through and talks about what they're going to do, these marauders, this army. They're going to eat up the harvest. They're going to take away all of your temporal goods, and so on. But I will not make a full end with you. So then, like you have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall you serve strangers in a land that is not yours. So that's the next portion, the captivity. Not only will they come, not only will they eat up all your substance, but they'll take you out of your land as well. And of course, to lose the land to a faithful Israelite would have been extremely devastating as a type of their eternal inheritance and a sign of God's covenant promise to them. All right, so now we move on to verse 20. Through 24, once again, a declaration. Declare this in the house of Jacob, publish in Judah. Hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, ears and hear not. Notice the Lord declares unto them that they are without understanding of spiritual things. It is a humbling word, and yet a word they needed to hear. Whenever we hear such a humbling word from the Lord, let us humble ourselves then and call upon him for eyes to see and ears to hear. And what does he say? Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for a bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. Well, that's quite a description, right? We have great respect for the Dutch, don't we? What have they done that other peoples have not been able to do very well? Well, they've subdued the sea, at least to a particular portion. They said, we need a bigger country. We don't have enough room here. So they took some land back from the ocean, built walls and levees and dikes and pumps and all kinds of things to keep the water out. And in some cases it worked, in some cases it didn't work so very well. But what did the Lord do? He set those bounds from the creation. He keeps them. Because I've done this, because I'm the creator, because I can hold back the ocean with a sandbar, with a beach, will you not fear me? Well, we ought to fear him. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, the former and the latter, in his season. So notice that this is not simply an outward profession, but we must say that in our heart, let us now fear the Lord. Now we come to the end of the chapter. Your iniquities have turned away these things, that is, the good things of the world. Your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait, and so on. The wrong is the people's wrong, and the Lord is guiltless. And the wrong that the Lord brings up in this final section is their own selfishness. Their own selfishness. They are willing to oppress, injure, and steal one from another to expand their own houses. Rather than waiting upon the Lord for His increase, they have taken the reins of their prosperity, if you will, in their own hands by stealing, by murder, by oppression, and they have expanded their own houses. You know, we are wont to think that in our country, in modern day America, this doesn't take place. My dear brothers and sisters, don't be so naive. This kind of the grabbing of authority and power and money and goods and so on, it is indeed prevalent in our country. Why is it that we are a nation $20+ trillion in debt? Who are we taking that money from? This is oppression, without a doubt. All to expand the power and comfort and estates of those. They are waxen fat. They shine. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Notice he's talking specifically about those in civil authority. And then secondly, for the second time, the Lord says, "Shall I not visit for these things?" What does he mean by visit? He's not coming for tea. He's coming in judgment. Any nation that exhibits these same traits then ought to hear that good word, "Shall I not visit for these things?" Unto repentance. Finally then, note 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so, and what will ye do in the end thereof? Rather than the grief that we spoke of earlier with regard to the teaching office of the church, how the Lord had moved away, how the Lord had turned His face away from the people and caused that their prophets should not have that grace and that truth in their lips. Notice that the people, rather than mourning and grieving over that, that they love to have it so. Well, what will you do in the end thereof then, when all these things are brought to pass? Of course, that's a very, very large threat on the part of the Lord. The end. What is the end of that? When you love to hear preaching that is substandard, that feeds your lusts, what is the end of that? All right, thus ends the reading of Jeremiah chapter 5. Let's